Their first year of production was 13. Their total wells is now, is it 40,000? 42,000. Serving, I have 8 million people. 5 million people. Correction. Just 5 million. Tom is one of the inspirational persons behind that success. Jocelyn is inspirational too, but she's the bookkeeper and manager of his dreams. Sometimes she has to rein him in a little bit. Not always successful, but she attempts. My wife, Susie, and I went to Malawi in 2016 for 3 weeks as volunteers and helped to commission 142 wells ourselves. It was the experience of a lifetime with the ability to provide living water, clean drinking water for those remote villages. I'll never forget the first morning on the job after training. I was at a location for training apart from Susie. She was at another place. And I was at the compound before we loaded into our 6 white Range Rovers loaded down with 20-foot lengths of blue PVC pipe hanging off the top, off the front, off the back, and sagging in the middle. Well pumps, pumps and parts are all packed up in the back of the truck. It was already hot and humid. The ground was a red clay, dusty and dry. Mud huts with thatch roofs around us. Stray dogs, stray chickens, stray cows all kind of meander by as you're standing there. They roam everywhere. You could smell chicken boiling in a pot and the sound of children. That sound kind of hang in the air, hung up in the air. And Tom ordered us, maybe 20 of us, to make a big circle. It was volunteers and African field officers for the most part. No one said a word. We did what he asked. He hung his head down a little bit, so we all followed the same gesture. And after a long silence, he said very softly, "Can you feel it? Can you feel it?" And this rush of energy, like a wind, came over the circle as we felt it. The Holy Spirit was among us in that moment. Now, scriptures that I found after that experience with Tom are from Isaiah, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it?" Maybe that's where he got, "Can you feel it?" In 1 Corinthians, "You are God's people, and God's Spirit dwells in you." There you can feel it. And from Revelations, "See, I am making all things new." We were headed out on a venture to make new things. I'm speaking about transformation, whether it's in Africa or Marion, Illinois. Enthusiasm to be God's people. Just talk to Tom. He's all about enthusiasm. Whether it's his electric-driven bicycle or his pontoon boat, he's all enthusiasm. He says we have to move our feet when we pray. We don't want to be the frozen chosen, but we want to be people of action, doing what Jesus would do. We provided safe drinking water to remote villages because of Tom's enthusiasm. What can you do? The people in this congregation, the people in Marion, what can we do for each other? Who and what can you transform? Will you be enthusiastic about it? Our denomination has published a document entitled Vital Congregations, and it's all about transformation. It's about rediscovering faithful discipleship in the 21st century. It states that God is calling on churches to transform from the frozen chosen to being active, from inward institutions to members of the surrounding neighborhood, to transform our 1950s culture, where everybody got up on Sunday morning and went to church, to one of the 21st century, with diversity and acceptance and affirmation. Instead of just joining a church, let's become disciples who go out to the people that are around us. Transformation is to deepen our walk with Christ so we are given minds and hearts that are open to nothing more, nothing less, nothing else than the will of God for all people. The vision statement of the Vital Congregations document is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to equip, nurture, and support congregations to renew, recover, and live more fully into faithful discipleship to Jesus Christ. That means that our leadership needs to assess their congregations and live into faithful action that increases vitality, the enthusiasm to change lives and spread the mission of God throughout our communities, rediscover who we are, whose we are, and reclaim what it means to be the church, to show up when it's dark and messy and shine a light. The artwork on your bulletin day is the Holy Spirit entering chaotic, messy places and making a stand for love and peace and harmony. I'll talk about that artwork a little later. What does that mean in everyday language? Well, seeing God as work at work in Jesus is a start. With Christ, we equip and we nurture one another. By the power of the Holy Spirit, as with Tom's circle in the red clay dust, we venture out and we do justice and we show mercy and we walk humbly before God and serve one another. Through transformation, we hope to die to ourselves and be raised up to a new life in Christ. And this journey always sends us into the community. We don't have to go to Africa to be raised up to a new life in Christ. Now, this document has seven signs of a congregation that has vitality. I won't go through all that. We don't have time. But I would like to read a couple. Vitality is being awakened and engaged in issues facing today's culture. So you have injustice, inequality, divisive segregation, oppression and suffering, and abuse of God's creation, the environment. Another sign of a vital congregation, to cultivate an outward exploration, an awareness and a focus on our neighbors and our neighborhoods. The Messenger version of the Bible, somewhere I've looked for it, but I haven't found it, says the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. John 1 says dwells among us, and some other versions have it, but the Messenger says move into the neighborhood. He's already there. Go beyond relationships with people of similar existence. The incarnate dwells among the lowly, the least, the stranger, the suffering, and the marginalized. He's there, just like the front, the artwork shows. The Holy Spirit is into and dwells in the messiness. Another one would be Spirit-inspired worship. Have a relationship, a living relationship with the triune God, for Granger's benefit there. We come to his holy ground to encounter him and to experience wonder. Worship challenges us. Worship should teach us, should transform us. Worship should encourage us to encounter new things, give us convictions, and then sends us out as new people. One last word of admiration, by the way, realize this came from our PCUSA denomination. They have another document. Susie talked with our General Assembly co-moderator a few days ago. Not want to drop names or anything. She didn't know who she was talking to. It's just a number on the page. And the co-moderator, her name? Alona?
Yeah.
Stewart Street. She told Susie about the Matthew 25 churches. So this is another initiative from our denomination. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, calls all of us to actively engage in the world around us. So our faith comes alive and we wake up to new possibilities. To act boldly and compassionately, to serve people who are hungry, oppressed, imprisoned, or poor. Three initiatives in this Matthew 25 churches document, of which there are copies out front. The first one is to build congregational vitality. That's what I just talked about. Enthusiasm. The second is to dismantle structural racism. We've done that through our table setters workshops. We've had good attendance at those workshops to dismantle structural racism. And then the third one in Matthew 25 churches is to eradicate systemic poverty. Well, the program of hope that I suggested a few months ago to the session and want to build on is all about that. Eradicating systemic poverty. I think with enthusiasm and vitality, we could be a Matthew 25 church here in Little Old Marion. As I mentioned, there's a description out there in the narthex. If you're interested, we could do this. If you choose to do it with enthusiasm. I realize this information is a lot to digest this morning, but as Tom always reminds us, nothing is impossible when God is in charge. Can you feel it? Amen and amen.